of the Episcopal Diocese of Fort Worth. This podcast contains sermons and messages from the bishop and other leaders of the diocese and the Episcopal Church. This is episode 14. This is a sermon Bishop Scott Mayer preached at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Stephenville, where he received five people into the Episcopal Church on Sunday, September 8, 2019. He spoke about the chain reaction of love, of how the human energy in any person is activated when that person is loved personally by another person. When we are loved, we are liberated to love others. Here's the sermon.
Every time we celebrate the sacrament of confirmation, we say together the baptismal covenant, reminding ourselves that we are called into this body of Christ as living members of the body, all equally needed and all equally valued. And we are called into the body for a purpose beyond ourselves, and that is to proclaim and embody the good news of God's love for all people. For as our presiding bishop says, I know you've never heard this, if it's not about love, it's not about God, right? And that love is what changes hearts. And love is what changes lives. Love is what changes this world. And I think we would all agree, this world needs some changing. There was an influential 20th century theologian named Karl Barth. He was a prolific writer. I understand that he wrote more than Thomas Aquinas, which would make him kind of number one in terms of volume. Personally, I'm more interested in other theologians of his era, but there is no questioning his brilliance. So this brilliant theologian, this scholar, was asked what all of this meant. What does all of this mean? And he replied, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I like that. He also said something else that you may have heard before. He said that when preachers prepare their sermons, they should have a Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And I'm not sure I like that. I pretty much agree with it, but I'm not sure I like it. So what would it be this week? Gun violence? Climate crisis? Or next week, I hate to think, and I'll spare us all the potential litany of possibilities. And besides, what size catastrophe is pulpit worthy now? Something that all preachers wrestle with. And if we are honest, it does not matter what side of the political aisle we sit on. Some of our challenges seem pretty overwhelming. And answers to these challenges will take creativity and cooperation and ingenuity and scholarship and courage and, yes, politics. We are creative beings created in God's image. And throughout history, we have had occasion to find answers. But it's also going to take love. God's love. I'm mindful of one of my favorite theologians, a contemplative named Beatrice Bruteau. Dr. Bruteau makes the following observation. She claims that the human energy in any person is activated when that person is loved personally by another person. When you are loved by another person, the energy in you to love others is activated. The lack of energy to love others, she says, is the result of spending our energy on protecting ourselves, defending ourselves, augmenting ourselves, justifying ourselves out of fear and insecurity. And as we protect and defend and augment and justify ourselves, we actually reinforce the fears and insecurities of others. And then they do the same to others. Bruteau calls this a chain reaction. To break the chain reaction, she says, someone is needed who can enable others to experience themselves as worthy and valuable and secure. Someone is needed to show personal love. And once the one loved accepts and is convinced of this love, we will experience security. And we will be liberated to love others. And another different chain reaction is started. The other chain reaction is reversed. Energy once used to defend and protect and augment and justify is now activated to love. But someone had to start it all. Someone free. Someone who experienced himself as accepted and worthy and beloved. Someone secure and unafraid. Someone with the abundant energy to start that chain of love. Someone who can liberate the energy to love in all who are willing to be loved by him. Jesus of Nazareth. In today's passage from Luke's Gospel, Jesus and his followers are on the road to Jerusalem. Political and religious authorities lie on the horizon who are more interested in power than in people. We could say principalities and powers. As the story goes, Jesus tells potential followers about the cost of discipleship. Frankly, it does not seem like a good evangelism strategy to me. But to this particular enthusiastic crowd, Jesus turns and stunningly tells them, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." He says, if you want to follow me on this journey to Jerusalem, then first calculate the cost. And then Jesus gives them a couple of examples. First, the story of the tower builder. He says, who intending to build a tower does not first estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to build it? Otherwise, if he fails to complete it, he will be ridiculed. And then Jesus gives another example saying, what king waging war won't consider whether he has enough troops to win? Two examples of calculating the cost. Two examples Jesus gives so that every person in the crowd can ask themselves, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to finish the mission? Do I have what it takes to do the job? To win the battle? To emerge victorious when we arrive in Jerusalem? Do I have what it takes to win? At least that's how it sounds. Undoubtedly, Jesus is telling the crowd to count the cost. That's true. But I wonder if the challenging question is really, do I have what it takes to win? I wonder if it's another question. For it seems to me that the examples that Jesus gives of calculating the cost, these two examples, the tower builder and the king waging war, are not necessarily examples to follow. Maybe more so, they are simply observations of how we typically behave. For example, we do calculate ahead of time whether we can finish a job, because we don't want to be ridiculed if we fail. Jesus makes that observation. We calculate ahead of time because we don't want to be embarrassed, don't want to be seen as someone without the fortitude to finish the job, don't want to be seen as someone without the character to follow through. We don't want to fail or lose. We calculate the cost, Jesus says, because we don't want to embarrass ourselves or be seen as losers or failures or have our character questioned. So I wonder, maybe Jesus is not so much challenging the crowd and challenging us to ask ourselves, do I have what it takes to win? But rather, do I have what it takes to lose? Maybe he's saying to the potential disciples, are you prepared to fail? Are you prepared to fall short, unable to finish the mission? Are you prepared to be embarrassed? Are you prepared to lose everything, even your life? Do you have what it takes to lose? The vulnerability, the humility, the faith to lose. If you need to be a winner, If you need to be seen by others as a winner to be validated, if you need to win to feel affirmed, if losing and associating with the cultural losers of the world is beneath you, then don't follow me to Jerusalem. Maybe that is the challenging question for all of us. Do I have what it takes to lose? For we will lose. In the eyes of the world, on Good Friday, Jesus lost. We know the story. Jesus of Nazareth travels to Jerusalem. He is tempted to succeed, to win, to emerge powerful and victorious and triumphant. Thank heavens, Jesus has what it takes to lose. The vulnerability, the humility, the faith to lose. Thank God, Jesus loves us enough to lose for us. Losing for someone, that's love. And such love activates love. If we think about it, that's why we are here. The chain of love brings us to this moment. And in this moment, the world has a question for the body of Christ, of whom we are living members, called more to humility and vulnerability and service than to pride and power and triumph. What people want to know, especially those who are powerless and hopeless, those who are oppressed or on the margins, what they want to know is this: will we love them? Will we love them enough to lose for them? Will we love them enough to lose with them? In the baptismal covenant, we say together, I will with God's help. Jesus shows us. He shows us in Jerusalem. It might not always look like winning, but it will be love. The love we strive to proclaim and embody in the name of the Holy Trinity, one God in whom we live and move and have our being.
Thank you for listening. You can find this and other sermons at edfw.org. We invite you to share this with friends who might be interested and to subscribe to this podcast. Again, thanks for listening.